How to fall in love with your spouse for life. 7 points for making any marriage even better. I want to begin with one caveat. Today, I'm discussing regular marriages with regular ups and downs. I'm not talking here about clearly abusive relationships to which these normal rules, unfortunately, just don't apply. So let's begin. Western culture has a few defining features. One is embodied by the most famous Frank Sinatra song. Elvis also sang it. I took the blows and did it my way. You can do it your way. It can be my way or the highway in your marriage, but you'll take the blows. You'll miss out on shalom and shalva and deep, deep happiness with your spouse. Is it worth it? So the first of my 7 points for a happier marriage is, number one, trust your spouse, even though he thinks differently than you do. Even though she does things differently than you do, even though you think your way is better. Think to yourself, maybe his idea is right. Maybe her way of doing this is right. Maybe his approach to this situation is right. Maybe her opinion on this one is right. And of course, conversely, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe my idea just isn't the right idea. Maybe my way of doing this isn't the only right way of doing this. Just sing the Frank Sinatra song in the shower each morning to remind yourself, I took the blows. I did it my way. Now, sure, you can discuss your ideas with your spouse and why you think your way is a good way and ask him to explain his way so that you can understand it. But with the attitude of, I'm open to a different way. I'm open to hearing your opinion, especially if it's yours. I want to understand a different way, a different idea, a different opinion, because maybe you're right and maybe I'm wrong. Without being defensive about your ideas and with openness to her ideas. Point number two, be vulnerable to your spouse. Trust him with your heart. Trust her that she won't hurt you. I once gave a talk and I titled it, How to Date Without Getting Your Heart Broken. And I like the way I started that talk. I think it's relevant here. I'm going to tell you how I started that talk. So again, the title was How to Date Without Getting Your Heart Broken. And I started off by saying, I was so happy that they let me use that title. I was sure that somebody, the rabbi, the steering committee, someone was going to say, come on, Lauren, you can't title a talk How to Make $1 million in an Hour, and you can't title a talk How to Date Without Getting Your Heart Broken. I'm here to tell you that that someone who didn't stop me was exactly right. And of course, they were wrong. Because if you date the right way, and we're going to apply this to marriage, if you date the right way, you probably will get your heart broken. But if you date the wrong way, you probably won't. Now that I've thoroughly confused my audience, but probably captured your attention, let me explain. If you date the right way, and of course, here I'm going to say, if you approach marriage with the right attitude, with your heart open, ready to hope, ready to love someone, ready to make yourself vulnerable, you probably will get your heart broken. You might not, but you probably will. If you date the wrong way, if you approach marriage the wrong way, guarded, not really opening yourself up to the person you're trying to form a relationship with, keeping your deep feelings at bay, keeping that person at arm's length emotionally, then you probably won't get your heart broken. But you might end up alone, even within your marriage, because you were too afraid to allow yourself to be vulnerable with someone enough to allow them to see the real you and to allow yourself to test a true and deep relationship with them. If you allow yourself to be real during your marriage, if you allow yourself to trust the person you're trying to create this deep relationship with, you might get your heart broken, but you're also giving yourself and your spouse a chance at finding true love. Point number three. There's a Talmud Bavli which states that if someone's right hand accidentally cuts with a knife his own left hand, well, then that person would not go and cut their own right hand in order to punish it. That would be self-defeating. Your spouse is the other half of your neshama. The Zohar explains that each soul begins with a male and a female part. They're each born into different bodies, and they find each other many years later and marry. And the two parts of the original neshama reunite. Your spouse is just the other half of you. When you think of your spouse that way, it's a lot easier not to get upset with him. He did that becomes, oh, I did that? And we approach the situation with a lot less anger and a lot more understanding. This next point, point number four, is a crucial one. I really want to ask you to please get out a pencil and paper. Write this down. Practice it every day, right after you're singing Sinatra in the shower. Here we go. Point number four. By the way, if you get this one right, you are in for a life full of peace, tranquility, deep love, all the good things. All right, point number four. When your spouse gets upset with you, lovingly say, "I am so sorry I hurt you. Please tell me what I did to hurt you so that I can make sure not to do it again." And then listen lovingly, like a true friend, with an open mind to how your spouse feels. And tell him again, "I am so sorry," and reiterate back to him how he feels that you hurt him. "I'm really going to try hard not to do that to you again because I love you and I want to make you happy. I never want to hurt you. I'm so sorry that I hurt you. It hurts me that I hurt you." Of course, this is instead of when your spouse gets upset with you saying, "Nuh-uh, I did not do that," or, "You're crazy, I don't do that," or, "Someone's really sensitive." So I'm going to say it again, point number four. I'm going to say it again so you can make sure to write it down and practice it every day after Sinatra. When your spouse gets upset with you, lovingly say, "I am so sorry I hurt you. Please tell me what I did to hurt you so that I can make sure not to do it again." And then listen lovingly, like a true friend, with an open mind to how your spouse feels. And tell her again, "I am so sorry," and reiterate back to her how she feels you hurt her. "I'm going to try really hard not to do that to you again because I love you and I want to make you happy. I never want to hurt you. I am so sorry I hurt you. It hurts me that I hurt you." And of course, all of this has to be said sincerely. I've had people in my office, I'm a marriage therapist, I've had people in my office who say, "Yeah, I'm really sorry I hurt you. I really don't want to hurt you." Doesn't work. It has to be sincere, otherwise they'll see right through it. They'll know you're just saying lines. Point number five. Whatever you can't control is in Hashem's control. That means that how your spouse treats you, how your spouse thinks and acts, is set before you by Hashem to help you grow, to help you learn, to help you become the person you are supposed to become here on this earth. Embrace the opportunities to learn. Don't spurn them. When your spouse feels that you are nasty or insensitive or wrong, don't spurn that opportunity to learn about yourself. As part of number four that we talked about before, you can tell them, "Please tell me more about what's hurting you. Tell me everything. I really want to learn about it. I want to become better." Remember point number four? When your spouse gets upset with you, lovingly say, "I am so sorry I hurt you. Please tell me what I did to hurt you so that I can make sure not to do it again." And of course, like I said, ask them to elaborate on it. You can handle it. You're strong. And remember point number one. Trust your spouse. Even though he thinks differently than you do, even though she does things differently than you do, even though you think your way is better. And remember point number two, as part of this, whatever you can't control is in Hashem's control. And the way your spouse is there for you to learn from. Remember point number two, be vulnerable to your spouse. Maybe you're supposed to hurt so that you can learn more about what you're supposed to be, so that you can grow. Maybe you're supposed to hurt. That's at the heart of therapy. Facing the pain, not running from it. And spouses give us a lot of chances to face our pain. Don't run from it. Marriage is marvelous mitos work for you. Marriage is training ground for you to become a better person by working on your character traits. Point number six. Kimayim hapanim el panim, kein lev ha'adam la'adam. However you treat your spouse is the way that he will treat you back. If you are kind and loving and friendly, he will mirror those feelings right back to you. If you are angry and disappointed, she will mirror those feelings back to you too. You can, single-handedly, begin a positive cycle of love and giving in your marriage. It only takes one of you to make both of you happy with each other. Of course, this works best when both husband and wife are committed to beginning the positive cycle. But since this is reaching your ears right now, I guess it's time for you to commit yourself to being the one. Of course, you can make a date night and have your spouse watch this, and then he or she can commit him or herself to also being the one, and then everybody will be happy. As Rav Dessler says in Michtav Me'eliyahu, and let me quote, "Why do we find so often that husband-wife affection does not seem to last? The answer is simple. People are generally takers, not givers. Each begins to demand from the other the fulfillment of his or her obligations. When demands begin, love departs." Don't worry, by the way. I'm going to give you a way to talk to your spouse about how you're really feeling right after this quote. So don't freak out. Just keep listening. When demands begin, love departs. This is why I always say to a couple, in the joyousness of their wedding day, filling your hearts at this moment is a wondrous desire to give pleasure and happiness to each other. Take care, my dear ones, that you strive to keep this desire always as fresh and strong as it is at the present time. The best relationship between husband and wife will be obtained when both achieve and practice the virtue of giving. Then their love will never cease, and their lives will be filled with happiness and contentment for as long as they live on this earth. That's the end of Rev Dessler's quote. You can create a positive cycle of love and giving in your marriage. Don't worry, I'm going to get to the point where you can talk to them and ask them without demanding. That's coming, point number seven. My final point, point number seven. For this final point, I just need actually a show of hands. Hang on one second. I need to know if anyone out there is a perfect person. Anyone there a perfect person? Okay, one second. Nobody answered. I think that there are no perfect people in this world. Just like you have positive attributes and habits and negative attributes and habits, so does your spouse. No one's perfect. So appreciate and revel in your spouse's positive qualities and accept gracefully his negative ones. So he sucks on his chicken and makes disgusting noises at the Shabbos table. So she leaves the bathroom a mess. Remember, he's the other half of your neshama. She's the other half of your neshama. Just as you gracefully accept your own shortcomings, gracefully accept his or her shortcomings. Every person is a package of good and not so good. Of course, and here comes the other really important part. You can ask your spouse for you, as a kindness to you, to do or to not do a certain behavior. But always bracket the request before and after with, "I love you just as you are, and I know that this is my issue." Let me give you a couple of examples. "I love you just as you are, and I know this is my issue. So here it is. It would make me so happy if you could try and remember to put the toilet seat down. But I love you anyway, and I know it's my craziness that it bothers me." Another example, I think this one's probably going to speak to a lot of people out there. "I love you just the way you are. I think you're beautiful. I know this is my issue, so here it is. It would make me happy if you lost some weight. But I love you any way you are, and I think you're beautiful just the way you are." You can even sing it if you want. A lot of singing going on in this talk. "But I love you any way you are, and I think you're beautiful just the way you are. Thank you for putting up with my craziness. I'm so sorry you have to deal with a crazy husband. So sorry you have to deal with a crazy wife." In order to summarize and end, I'd like to share with you a poem that I wrote. "I'll just pretend that you never hurt me before. I'll just pretend that you're always on my side. I'll just make believe you've loved me all your life. I'll just pretend that you're always soft, gentle, and kind. And therefore, I won't hurt you. I'll be on your side. I'll love you unconditionally. I'll be soft, gentle, and kind. And then I won't have to pretend, because it will be so. Thank you.